The real drug war that's going on, the new trade war that is happening. Also, we have Ilhan Omar back in the news today for something new, and not some stupid comment she made, but for another piece of evidence that shows that she is not Omar. That's not her last name. Her father is not Omar. She gives us that evidence back in 2013. It was discovered late last night, on her Twitter feed, or I think her Instagram feed. She originally posted it on Instagram, then deleted it, but its trail was not deleted on Twitter until after about 2 hours of it being discovered. Then she deleted it early this morning. It's interesting, to say the least. Our message to Ilhan Omar in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. I want to make this really clear. I don't have a problem with Ilhan Omar because of her, because she's a Muslim. I don't have a problem with Muslims. I have a problem with Islamists. And I believe she is an Islamist. She supports Islamist organizations, CARE, Muslim Brotherhood. She,
what was the one that sent her over to Israel?
MIFTA. I'll get into that here in a second. Yeah. She supports all the things that I think are really, really not good. I don't have a problem with her coming from another country, Somalia. Somalia was a war-torn country. It was horrible. And I do want to be a place of refuge, but I want to be a place of refuge for people who want to be here and understand our culture. You know, we welcome refugees, but you have to be a part of America. Now, Ilhan Omar has a strange backstory, and there's new breaking news today, and you're probably hearing about it for the first time on this broadcast. It's only been broken on Twitter by Caleb Hull, and a few others now are starting to pick this up. This is something that we have been on for a while. And Congresswoman Omar, I invite you. I will never be nasty to you. I just want answers to questions. I invite you to be on this program. I invite you to come on television. I invite you to write to us and just answer a few questions. Because if this is false, America and I should know it. We should stop saying these things about you if it's false. But the evidence is overwhelming.
And luckily, you were incredibly helpful by aligning all, 15 questions on Twitter. And you tagged her in them, so she would know where they are. She could easily go back and find them in her feed and just answer each one. She can do it publicly on Twitter if she
right.
wants.
That's even easier to do. I'm going to add to that today, and I'm going to retweet all of these today.
Good. So it's easy for her. Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, I said that she was, you know, going to destroy America somehow or some way in a out of context media matters post. She was very upset that I was lying about her. And that I had said she's trying to destroy America. So I guess the first question is, how are we lying? Please clear these things up. I'm going to give you a set of questions here, including the new tweet that came out, was discovered, that you made in 2013. That seems like, smoking gun kind of proof that, yep, you married your brother. So please respond, provide any information. First, destroy America. You're saying that I'm lying. I'd like to know how I'm lying. Now, the destroy America line, like all Media Matter clips, was taken out of context. But how exactly would you describe behavior like embarking on a trip to Israel sponsored by MIFTA? MIFTA are anti-Semites. They published an American neo-Nazi treatise called Who Rules America? The Alien Grip on Our News and Entertainment Media Must Be Broken. This is one of the most vile, almost Hitler-esque kind of things I've ever read. It makes me uncomfortable to even read the words out loud. But that's who sponsored your trip to Israel. Mifta also published blood libel, claiming Jews use the blood of Christians in the Jewish Passover. Really? This is who you find credible? They also celebrated a terrorist that killed 38 Israelis, including 13 children. I provide links for you, but I know you know this, but I'll provide all the links for you so you can see all of these stories and all the things that they are holding up.
That's helpful. She doesn't have to search for them because that takes a lot of time, and she's a congresswoman.
Mifta also celebrated a female suicide bomber named Wafa, calling her the beginning of a string of Palestinian women dedicated to sacrificing their lives for the cause.
Aww.
Now, does dealing with groups as vile as Mifta demonstrate the love for America and our values that you claim to uphold? Hormuz is something that you tweeted about, and I would just like to know, if you represent American values, can you help me out with a tweet where you said the United States must support Hormuz? It is a telecom company in Somalia, and you say it does great, great things. However, Hormuz has been identified by the United Nations, not exactly a right-wing organization, as a financier and supporter of the terror group Al-Shabaab, which is Al-Qaeda in Somalia. This is well documented. Are you working on the right side? Or are you knowingly engaging with all of these groups that happen to be aligned with terrorists and against the, I was going to say against the United States, but really against all mankind and freedom? Is becoming a United States elected official to promote UN-identified supporters of Al-Qaeda, is that becoming of a of an elected official here in the United States? Also, the allegation has been made that you married your brother. Now, this one, Ilan, is the easiest to disprove, but please do so. Now, I know this is complex because if you indeed did marry your brother, there's going to be a problem on fraud. There's also going to be an immigration fraud because you're not an Omar. And we understand, and I give you sympathy for being in a camp, a UN refugee camp, and having the opportunity to come here to the United States of America. And you come under a false name with another family. This is well documented that this is happening all over Somalia. It's why we had to stop so many people coming in from Somalia, because a good portion of people coming in are not who they say they were. Now, this allegation should be really easy to disprove, because if it's a nasty rumor, I want to help you squash it. I was not a birther. I didn't buy into the birth certificate thing. So I want to stand for the truth. But if it's untrue, why did you delete all of the social media posts that back up the allegation that you married your brother? And I'm not saying you married your brother for love. You were spiritually married to your first husband in 2002, and you had two kids, and I claim that you love them. And even during your second marriage with your brother, I contend that you actually loved him and were actually living with your first husband, your brother too. But I think you were sleeping with your first husband because you had a faith marriage to him. Then you got a faith divorce in 2008, and a month later, you had a legal Christian marriage to your brother, Elmi. Why? Why the Christian marriage? You are clearly a devout Muslim. Why would you get married legally to a Christian man when you didn't support the legal marriage thing with your first husband. You believed that Sharia law is greater than all other laws, and so you didn't marry your first husband legally. You just had a faith marriage. Why have a legal marriage and a Christian marriage to your next husband, who really strongly appears to be your brother? And then why did that happen right before you and your new husband, a.k.a. your brother, went to college at the same university, North Dakota State University? And why did you get a divorce? I'm sorry, why did you get a separation from your brother, your second husband, right after you both left college? You see, that's the fraud part. That's the part that's hard to figure out. Soon as you graduate, you separate, but you don't divorce him. Instead, as soon as you separate, a month or two later, you get re-faith married to your first husband. And why were you both living in the same house? Your two kids, your first husband, you, and your second husband for 4 years. I mean, I'm an open-minded guy, but gee, that seems even wrong to do just to the kids, let alone your first husband. There's new evidence that came out today on her Twitter feed. I'll give it to you in 1 minute. All right. These are questions that I have for Ilhan Omar. And I cannot think, my staff and I, we have beat our heads against the wall trying to give her the benefit of the doubt in every way that we possibly can. But the evidence is overwhelming. We don't know why others will not do an investigation on this. We can speculate, but we don't know why. Perhaps it's because unless she gives the answer, or unless there is enough support from the American people, there's nowhere to go. If her attorney general in Minnesota, who is Keith Ellison, if he won't do anything about it, who will? If people in Congress are too afraid to take her on because of care and all of her connections, who will? We are going to continue to ask the question until there is an answer. Now, this was just released by Caleb Hull. He tweeted this out yesterday, last night at 11:08 p.m. He said Ilhan Omar's father's name is Nur Omar Mohammed. Okay, that's how she gets the Omar name. That's her father, allegedly. But her alleged brother's name is Ahmed Nur Saeed Elmi. Remember, Saeed is the name Omar. It's not the last one. It's all jumbled. So
just remember Saeed.
Saeed is the brother's name, his last name, if you will. She says she's
an alleged brother, Glenn.
Yes, yeah, yes. She says she is an Omar, and so her father would have to be Nur Omar Mohammed, who came in from Somalia and had his whole family there, and Ilhan was one of them. Now, this tweet from 2013 on her official account appears to be pretty damning evidence that she married her brother, Saeed. This tweet, which was then deleted in the middle of the night by Ilhan Omar, was a copy of something she had deleted earlier on Instagram, but she didn't go to Twitter to delete the connection.
Yeah, and if you're not on these things, basically, if you could set up Instagram to automatically tweet the same thing that you just posted on Instagram, so you don't have to do it twice. So you post it on Instagram once, it automatically sends a link to Twitter, and the beginning of your post that gets cut off a little bit. So we can't tell the entire message that she wrote, but we can see enough to actually see the content about the father.
And we do know at 11:08, this was online on her Twitter feed. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we know this was posted by her on her Twitter feed. And we now know that it has strangely been deleted. What she wrote was, "Happy Father's Day to my Abu Nur Saeed. I am forever grateful to Allah for giving me the best father. A dot, dot, dot." We don't know what the rest of that message was. But this seems to verify that her father is not Omar, but Saeed, which would make Saeed Elmi her brother. You can clear this up. Now, if your ex-husband is not your brother, why did he live with a woman in England that you have referenced as your sister in London? Why does she consider your father, the one that you just said Happy Father's Day, as her father? Why are there photos of the two of you together? In 2016, you filed a harassment report on a DC cab driver where you called Layla your sister. Why did also another witness corroborate that later? Again, easy questions. The American people should know. You just need to tell us the truth. You just have to do what you've refused to do, and that is address them. You also have claimed that you're not having an affair with Tim Minette. So why does his wife claim otherwise in official court documents? And by the way, I don't really care about your sexual life. I don't care about it. I don't want to know about it. But the fraud with your brother seems concerning. Now you're an affair with Tim Minette. Just admit that you're having an affair with him. He left his wife for you. You've been seen together, photographed together, etc., etc. But it's not really about him and you. It's honestly about the insane payments your campaign has paid him.
Allegedly.
No, we...
She's an alleged congresswoman. We don't know. We don't know her name. That's allegedly Ilhan Omar.
Can you please tell the people who donated your campaign a reason that you continue to pay him $14,000 on one day, $21,000 on the next day? Oh, and by the way, he also worked for Keith Ellison, your attorney general.
Allegedly.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Can you please explain? Cokie Roberts has passed away today. Sad news. I mean, it's like yesterday I found out about Rick Ocasek from The Cars dying, and I'm thinking, what did he die of? Old age? I mean, he was like 75, 77. Cokie Roberts was 75. So, thought I'd let you know. Let me go to John Ziegler. John is a senior columnist at Mediaite. He is the host of Individual One podcast. He has written a great couple of stories now on this bombshell that ends up blowing up the New York Times on Brett Kavanaugh. Welcome to the program, John. How are you?
Always good to be with you, Glenn.
Yeah. So, John, let's start with the Kavanaugh story that you wrote on Sunday. It was a fascinating story about, you know, how much they really left out of this story. It's not just that the accuser has no accusation because they don't remember any of it. It's, well, who made this allegation?
Yeah, well, it's actually, Glenn, it is almost impossible to fully encapsulate all the problems with the New York Times story in one column. I mean, I'm being very literal about that. And I actually think that while the conservative media has done a really good job on some aspects of the story, there are obvious aspects like the one you just mentioned that they didn't mention. Oh, by the way, the alleged victim of the second episode that is supposed to be this bombshell has no knowledge of this, and her friends say that they don't believe that it happened. They leave that out. That would be a big enough problem as it is. But I think we're missing something with regard to who the witness is. And it's not just political bias. This guy is a guy by the name of Max Steer. And when I read the original article, I didn't know who Max Steer was. And it referred to him as a thought leader who works at a D.C. nonprofit. Now, you know I have a pretty good BS detector. But
yeah.
When I read that, I'm like, wow,
that's
I'm
like
at 11.
The Patriot Act.
I'm at an 11 on who this guy is.
Right.
So who is this guy? Well, we now learn that he was one of Bill Clinton's defense attorneys during his impeachment, which would automatically show at least some bias. But I'm not even worried about the bias element or the potential political motivation. Let's go back to the Clinton impeachment. Who was on the other side of that battle? Ken Starr's primary deputy was Brett Kavanaugh. What was one of the major allegations against Bill Clinton that led to that whole situation? Him exposing himself to Paula Jones, which started that lawsuit. So let's go back to this, Glenn. Let's think about the absurdity of this. So Glenn Steer, in the midst of this incredibly intense impeachment battle, knows that his classmate from Yale, Brett Kavanaugh, is a guy who he witnessed doing exactly the same thing that Bill Clinton is being accused of, and he never mentions this to anybody?
That is such an amazing piece of evidence. To me, when I read this from you yesterday, I thought to myself, that is the most damning piece of evidence on this article than anything else. And anything else. They didn't think that the guy who was coming after his client, Bill Clinton, he had witnessed, that attorney had witnessed him do exactly the same thing as he was investigating on the president, and he wouldn't bring that up? He wouldn't expose that?
Impossible.
Impossible. Impossible.
Exactly. And what's remarkable to me is that I'm the only one I know of that's really made a big deal out of this.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm any great shakes. As you guys know, I'm very disoriented in this story because I'm actually defending somebody I like, and I might actually win on this one. That's very strange for me. that never happens. I really honestly believe that the biggest problem here is that there's so many issues in the story. I mean, they leave out their biggest bombshell. There is a bombshell in this new book by these Times reporters who clearly now, as we're learning more, snuck this into the New York Times. This was snuck in on a weekend in a story that was labeled something totally different about Yale's culture, and they snuck these things in there that did not pass muster on the news side. But the biggest bombshell this book has isn't even in the article, which is that Leland Kaiser is now on the record for the first time. Leland Kaiser, Christine Ford's best friend at the time, who was allegedly at this party, which has no place and no date, no year even, no way of getting home, no way of getting there, all sorts of problems. But she is now on the record saying that it makes no sense to her, this story, and that she has no confidence in it, and that she was the victim of an intimidation campaign of Ford allies to try to get her to lie on her behalf. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to go to journalism school to know that's an actual bombshell, and that's not even in the story. And it's not in the story because it doesn't fit the narrative that the New York Times and their liberal subscriber base wants. In fact, they would probably have gotten irate if the New York Times had given that the weight that it deserved, because I believe it shows that Brett Kavanaugh is an innocent man, not someone who you can't prove this about. He's totally innocent. And that the Ramirez story that this Times piece was focused on is an urban legend. You want to know the closest thing I can come up with to this? Remember the Richard Gere gerbil story?
Yeah.
That's what this is. This is maybe somebody actually did have a gerbil removed from them in a hospital sometime, and then it somehow got attached to Richard Gere's name. Well, Brett Kavanaugh was the most famous person to come out of that fraternity at Yale. Something happened to Deborah Ramirez, and many, many years later, when it became politically feasible, it got attached to Brett Kavanaugh. And that's what happened here. It did not actually happen. There's zero evidence, when there should be plenty, that Brett Kavanaugh did anything to Deborah Ramirez. And I believe that the Ford story is a therapy-created memory where Ford was trying to save her marriage and came up with a reason for why she was a nut job, and used Brett Kavanaugh because he was also famous at the time. Well, and she's a lefty, and she's a righty.
I will tell you this. I think this is the first time that you don't really have he said, she said, in this particular case that they are running on now, and trying to impeach him today, trying to get Congress to go along to impeach him on this story.
They all jumped on it before they had any of these facts. All
correct.
These politicians, Ocasio-Cortez and yep. Kamala Harris, they yep. all just ran with it with no evidence at all.
Correct. So they have this, but because of who made the allegation, the former Clinton attorney, now you have something where you can look at that and say, there's no way. There's no way this is true, because he would have used it at that time. There's absolutely no way this is true.
And 100%, but let's even go farther with that. He also doesn't do an interview with the New York Times. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you, if you know anything about political operatives, that he took his shot when he thought there was a chance of Kavanaugh going down. Mm-hmm. And now that Kavanaugh is confirmed, he's like, I don't want anything to do with this because I don't even have a victim that backs me up on this. Maybe his memory contrived something in the midst of the chaos. Who the hell knows? That was a very strange time during the confirmation hearings. But clearly, he has no confidence in his own story, because if he did, he'd be wanting to tell everybody, and that he would be thrilled if the Times wanted to revisit this, because the Senate, even the Senate Democrats, didn't take his story seriously. They knew about it, mm-hmm. and they passed it off to the FBI.
So, John, I want to ask you now for an opinion as a guy who writes about the media. What the hell is happening? I mean, is there any sense at all from anyone in mainstream media that it's like, okay, this has gone far enough. I can't do this anymore.
Well, to answer your question, I don't think so yet. I wrote a second column about this today, which you can find on my Twitter feed, Zygmunt Freud and at Mediaite, about why this happened. And I think you'll agree with this column when you get a chance to take a look at it, because it's about the culture of the left-wing mainstream media. And you have swum in those waters, as have I, on numerous occasions. And it is my opinion that there was no one in the room when these decisions were being made about this story who has a mindset of, someone like you or someone like me or Stu, who might go, guys, hold on a second here. Not everybody is already convinced that Brett Kavanaugh is a sexual predator. I mean, everybody in that room believes that. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, there's not a lot of scrutiny on the alleged evidence that that's the case, because they already know it to be true, even though it's not. And so there's nobody on the other side to go, hold on. And then there's the worst part of this, in my view, is the incredible amount of arrogance. Mm-hmm. I mean, people who work at the Times are unbelievably arrogant. I mean, God could tell them one of their stories is wrong, and all they would do is pass it off for a second fact check. They really do believe that if it's in the Times, or if a Times reporter says it's true, that it must be true. And that's no longer the case, because, frankly, staffs have been cut. Fact checking is no longer what it was. There's a rush to get stories out there. And this is the other element, they are now beholden to a liberal subscriber base and to nut jobs on Twitter who are effectively editing their newspaper. And I think that's why they left the Leland Kaiser quote out, because if they put that in there, they would have pissed off a whole lot of their liberal nut job subscriber base. And that's not the way you run a newspaper of record. It's just a business. That's all it is.
All right.
Their business model is appealing to liberals.
All right. I've got about 2 minutes, but I can't let you go without saying, wow, how did you feel when Malcolm Gladwell writes a book and a chapter is about Penn State, and he uses most of your stuff and says, I think John Ziegler is right?
Yeah. Well, considering the hell I've been through in the last 7 years, other than the one day I spent with you guys talking about this story, which was a reprieve, I was a little bit shocked, to say the least, although I've been working on Malcolm for quite a while. I've done an interview with him. I hope people will check out from my World According to Zig podcast. You can also find that at the top of my Twitter feed. I hope people will take a look at it. 10 years ago, Glenn, I believe that Malcolm Gladwell, looking at the Penn State Joe Paterno Jerry Sandusky case and saying, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense, take a look at what John Ziegler has done, would have potentially changed the world. We don't live in that media climate anymore.
No, we don't.
Much like with Brett Kavanaugh. And by the way, the Kavanaugh story and the Penn State story are remarkably similar in many, many ways. And the bottom line is neither of them are true, and there's no evidence to suggest they're true. It's all about politics. And I hope people will take another look. I was gratified, but I'm also a realist, you know, Glenn. And so
you're not. You are a bigger pessimist than I am. You're not a realist. You're like... Everybody is bad. Everything is against everything. We're all going to die.
If you would live my life on this Penn State thing, you'd agree with me, Glenn. I can assure you. But I was glad to get some sense of vindication. It might extend my marriage for another couple of years.
John Ziegler, freespeechbroadcasting.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Zygmunt Freud. Zygmunt Freud is that. You can find him on the Individual One podcast. And read him at Mediaite. Well worth listening to, well worth considering John Ziegler's opinion on many things.
Yeah, I listened to that podcast, by the way, with Malcolm Gladwell. I mean, he was unequivocal.
Yeah.
Like, he said, I think, it was something like, I am ashamed to live in a world in which these people went to prison.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I think
that's real good vindication for John Ziegler. Yeah. John, thank you very much. We're just talking about there's no way that I mean, it bothers me there's no victim here. The victim is not part of this. The person who is the victim, quote unquote, with the Brett Kavanaugh thing says, I don't remember any of this happening. And now we're saying, well, I guess maybe she was drunk. Well, no, wait, was she drunk? Will she even admit that I was so hammered?
This is their fallback position.
I know.
Right? And they're trying to say basically
they are trying to impeach him today on this.
It's unreal. And the fact that they had this information and didn't include it, they are, by the way, claiming, and we have audio of this, they are claiming that the New York Times took it out of their article.
Yes.
They are saying the editors removed the part.
If we have time, can we play that real quick? Do we have time to play that?
In your draft of the article, did it include those words that have since been added to the article?
It did.
So somewhere in the editing process, those words were trapped.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened actually was that, you know, we had her name and, you know, the Times doesn't usually include the name of the victim. And so I think in this case, the editors felt like maybe it was probably better to remove it. And in removing her name, they removed the other reference to the fact that she didn't remember it.
If that doesn't work. That doesn't hold water with me. That because they removed her name, they also had to remove the fact that the witness, the one who this is alleged to happen to, has no recollection of it. I don't need to know her name to know that's an important part of the story. The New York Times did a hit piece, period.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.